And a very good morning to you. How you doing? Are you well? Good to be with you. Welcome to the Richie Allen Radio Show 2020, the BBG, not the BBC. This is Sunday View. Hope you've had a lovely Christmas and a prosperous new year as far as it's been. It's only been a few days, hasn't it? I am Richie Allen. This is your Sunday View. Going to be looking at the front pages of the Sunday newspapers, of course, this morning, and at one or two stories inside as well. You can participate as usual by tweeting the programme. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. I'm thrilled to be back with you. You've no idea. Let's just get on with it then.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Lovely hurling then, as we say in Ireland. Lovely hurling. Let's do it then.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, and thanks very much for all the kind birthday messages I received a few days ago as well, because I turned 45 on New Year's Eve, so I did. 45! Yes, thanks for those lovely messages. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's get rid of the theme tune and let's jump right in then. I do look forward to hearing from you on Twitter today. One or two of you said, oh, we didn't hear very much from you, Richie. When I go on holiday, I go on holiday. I take a complete break. I did put a message out, I think, around about Christmas Eve, I think. But other than that, I tend to take a proper break. Because you need a proper break, don't you? I hope you've had a proper break. And you filled your time off, if you had time off, with long walks in the countryside and in your local park or parks and all the rest of it. And that's what I do, you see, when I'm off on my downtime. Lots happening. Good morning to Natalie. Good morning to Liz Jones. Good morning to a Bass Ninja there. I'll get through you all this morning, to Gail, to Jackie. It is 2020. Yes, I know. It's 2020. Hi to John Stott as well. Jackie is in Australia. I will look for your email on the fires a bit later on, Jackie. Dreadful things happening, of course, in Australia. I know our friend Max Egan has been putting out YouTube videos about what's been happening in Australia. I do recommend you check them out. Hi to Jason as well. Good morning, Jason. Good morning to Mistress Sooty, Sooty's Rehab there. To Lance Burkett as well. To Mark Best. To Dweezil. To Dinah. To Daniel. To Mindfulness. To Philip. There's so many there. I'll tell you, we'll come back to them in a few minutes. First things first, let's look at the front pages of the papers then. Okay. The Mail on Sunday. You probably won't be surprised to know, to learn. If you haven't browsed the newspapers yourself, they are very much, today, the papers filled with commentary on Iran. That won't surprise you at all. The Mail on Sunday, Boris jets in to face Iran crisis, is the headline on the front page of the Mail on Sunday. This is the Prime Minister, of course. He's been in the Caribbean on a 12-day holiday. Nice work if you can get it. According to the Mail on Sunday, he's jetting in to confront the growing Iran crisis. On the front page, the Mail reports there is rising anger among ministers in this country over the lack of warning from the United States prior to its drone strike on the Iranian military general Qasem Soleimani. He was killed, of course, in Iraq only a couple of days ago. Okay, the Sunday Times, same story, trapped in a tinderbox. The Times reports that British troops in Iraq will be given increased firepower, not only to protect themselves and to guard UK diplomats amid the growing threat of a revenge attack by Iran, but, maybe they'll be given this increased firepower to launch preemptive strikes, maybe, on Iran. The Sunday Times talking about an increasing threat from Iran and the possibility that a revenge attack from Iran could come any minute. None of the newspapers in any way, shape or form today asking in any serious manner, asking any questions about what happened to Qasem Soleimani. none of the newspapers asking any serious questions about the legitimacy of the claims being made by Donald Trump's administration that the reason Soleimani was murdered was because he was plotting dozens and dozens of attacks on United States citizens and United States interests overseas. No evidence being sought by the press, but you won't be surprised to hear me say that. None. Nothing. Hang on a second. Where's the evidence that he was planted? Right, we'll leave that there. I won't dwell on it. I won't flog that dead horse. The media does what the media does. The Sunday Telegraph. Headline, Navy to guard British ships in the Gulf. That's self-explanatory. The Defence Secretary is a guy called Ben Wallace, and he has seemingly ordered two Royal Navy warships in the Gulf to protect vessels which are flying British flags. That's according to the Sunday Telegraph. Now, the Sunday Telegraph has also written today, well, there is an article inside the Telegraph, claiming that there is a split in Boris Johnson's cabinet, a split between hawks and doves. Yes. Apparently, Johnson's very new cabinet, remember, it's not been that long ago that Johnson won a landslide in the election, didn't he? In December, a couple of weeks ago. And allegedly, according to the Sunday Telegraph, there are those who want to properly de-escalate this situation with Iran, but Johnson is also surrounded by others who want to, well, to ramp it up. It's in the Telegraph. The Observer, headline, doubts grow over US case for killing as Iran urges revenge. So this is the only delicate little bit of, you know, trying to pull at some of the threads of this story, just a little bit, in the Observer. The US justification behind the killing, saying that there was an imminent attack which was going to be directed by Soleimani, has been challenged, according to the Observer, in some quarters. And the Observer quotes a man called Rukmini Kalamachi. Now, if you're like me and you read all the big newspapers from the big cities in the world, you'll know who Rukmini Kalamachi is. He writes for the New York Times. And he's written in the New York Times, excuse me, that the case for killing Soleimani is razor thin. This notion that he had to be killed, well, because he was directing attacks that were imminent. We'll come back to it. The Sunday People, SAS sent to Iraq. Sunday People, very simple, says the SAS will be sent off to Iraq to evacuate Britons in danger. 50 members of the SAS, says the People, and the Royal Navy Special Boat Service as well, are off to Iraq. There has been some speculation that the Iraqis will be so pissed off that this assassination happened inside its country, right inside Iraq, and obviously Iraqis were killed as well, that Iraq might order the imminent departure of every US serviceman and woman from the country. I wouldn't hold me breath there waiting for that to happen. Anyway, the Sunday Express, red alert for British tourists. Again, the notion that if you're in the region, if you're in the United Arab Emirates, if you're in Israel, if you're in Iran, you're not likely to be in Iran, Iraq, be very vigilant. Be very vigilant. That's in the Sunday Express. The Sunday Mirror leads with a story about a serial killer. And the Star on Sunday, front page features the death of Derek Acora, who is was a well-known television psychic medium. Derek Acora. 9.5 minutes past the hour. Sunday View with me, Richie Allen, on Sunday, the 5th of January, 2020. That's right. So to Iran then. The Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab was on every TV station this morning. Do I need to tell you what happened to General Qasem Soleimani? Do I need to waste time doing that? I know you do pay attention to what's going on. He was killed in a drone strike in Baghdad last week. Very influential man. Probably the second most powerful man in Iran. Only second to the Ayatollah Khamenei. he had a very good relationship with Khomeini. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about his military prowess in a few minutes' time, because I know all about this guy. I'll tell you a little bit about him. Kind of a modern-day Michael Collins, this guy, Qasem Soleimani. This'll piss some people off, but then again, if I'm not pissing people off, what am I doing? Yes, we'll talk about him in a few minutes. So he's a very powerful man, and a great military man, a great tactician, and, well, he was murdered. You must know by, I won't dwell on it, right, okay. And you'll know by now that Donald Trump has been tweeting out, saying that the US is locked on 52 targets inside Iran, ready to blow them up. And you probably know by now that the Iranian foreign minister has been tweeting this morning, saying that the US is announcing its intention to commit war crimes, crimes against cultural heritage sites and all that. So Trump is doing what Trump does, and it's all a bit bizarre. But there's method in the madness, and we'll come to that in a minute. Let's hear from the UK Foreign Secretary. He kept his gig, didn't he? After Johnson swept to his landslide victory, Dominic Raab, the karate man, Hong Kong Fui. Apparently he's a black belt in karate, Dominic Raab. The future Mrs. Allen had bait him. Now, Dominic Raab was on every TV station this morning, every one of them, but I grabbed his chat with Sky's Sophie Ridge. Now, Ridge asked Dominic Raab, very simply, was Donald Trump right to order the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani? Was he right, Mr. Raab?
Well, first of all, I share those concerns. We're looking to de-escalate and stabilise the situation. That's something that we've talked about with our European and American friends. I spoke to the Iraqi Prime Minister just this morning, the Iraqi President last night, and I'll be reaching out to the Foreign Minister of Iran with that same message. You asked about General Soleimani. Let's be very clear. He was a regional menace, and we understand the position that the Americans found themselves in, and they have a right to exercise self-defense. They've explained the basis on which that's done, and we're sympathetic to the situation they found themselves in. But there is a risk with the heightening of tensions, and we now want to see the de-escalation and the stabilization of the situation. And a war, in fact, is in no one's interest. The only people that would gain would be Daesh and the terrorists that would exploit the vacuum. So we'll be working very hard throughout the diplomatic network with all of our partners, the US, the Europeans, and in the region, to get that message across loud and clear.
But he didn't answer Ridge's question, which was Trump right to do it? So she repeated it very simply. She says, you didn't answer me. Was Trump right to do it?
Well, the US will take their own operational judgment call, but they've got the right of self-defense. If you look at what General Soleimani was doing, he's not some victim in this scenario. He was a regional menace. He was in charge of the Quds force, the wing of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which is directing militias and proxies in the region, in Iraq, the Lebanon, in Syria, which is destabilizing those countries, trying to get an Iranian advantage and attacking Western countries that are legitimately there. So we understand the position the US were in, and I don't think we should...
Did he just say legitimately there? I think he did he?
...an advantage in attacking Western countries that are legitimately there. So we understand...
So Iran is trying to gain some regional advantage, and it's also attacking Western countries that are legitimately there. This is proper fuckery, isn't it?
Trying to get an Iranian advantage in attacking Western countries that are legitimately there.
Okay.
So we understand the position the US were in, and I don't think we should be naive about the Iranian Revolutionary Guard or indeed General Soleimani.
Imagine being accused of interfering in the politics of the region by a British foreign secretary. Yeah. Again, I'm not going to flog a dead horse. So what about Trump's threats? 52 sites he said he would attack, cultural sites and all of that. Completely illegal, of course, under international law. Does Raab have any balls? Any test of clay? Any balls there? Have you got an undercarriage, Mr. Raab? Have you got the guts, the gumption, the cojones to stand up for something decent and honest and virtuous and say, well, he shouldn't do that, and any such attacks would be an egregious violation of international law. Any stomach, Dominic? Well?
I think the Americans are trying to send a very clear message to Tehran.
Thought not.
That they cannot continue the aggressive, menacing behaviour.
Again, imagine being accused of aggressive and menacing behaviour by a Zionist-controlled British Foreign Secretary like Dominic Raab. Imagine being accused of aggressive and intimidating behaviour. A country like Iran that hasn't attacked another country, hasn't fired a shot in anger against another state, well, in nearly four centuries. Anyway, what else does he say?
Whether it's on the destabilising activity that General...
Imagine, again, destabilising activity says... Wow.
Soleimani was in charge of throughout the region.
I'll tell you in a few minutes what Soleimani has been doing for the last 30 years.
Whether it's on the nuclear front or indeed some of its wider activities, for example, on attacking shipping. But aside from that message or supplementing that message, we also need to be clear that there is a route through which allows Iran to come in from out of the international cold, and that that opportunity is there for them if they do the right things. And so I think, yes, we need to contain the nefarious actions of Iran. We also need to de-escalate and stabilise the situation and make clear that if, after all this time, the leadership in Tehran wish to do the right thing and accept the overtures that have been made, not just from the President of the United States, but also from President Macron.
Accept the overtures from the President of the United States, who just... well, murdered the top general in the country and basically the second most important man in the country's governance. So just accept that and do what you're told and everything will be fine, says Dominic Raab.
Macron, to actually engage in proper diplomacy, meaningful diplomacy, that route is also available. And I think that's an important message.
I mean, there are reports today that you're going to be travelling to Washington next week, to the US next week, and talking to the Secretary of State, Mike...
She's rubbish, isn't she? She asks the question about whether or not he's going to meet Mike Pompeo. When really she should say to him, what do you mean, Mr. Raab, when you say that he should accept the overtures of diplomacy from the United States? They just blew up. The country's top general blew him into a million pieces. What else are Iran going to do? But she doesn't. She asked him about Mike Pompeo. Do we need to hear that?
Pompeo. Are you going to have a tough message for Mike Pompeo? What are you going to say to him?
Well, I'm meeting with my French and German colleagues next week. I've already been scheduled.
Yeah, forget about that. She then asks him about UK citizens in the region. What steps are you, Raab, and the government taking to ensure the safety of UK citizens in that region?
Well, I'm not going to comment on the operational matters, but on a whole range of issues, protecting our military missions, protecting our diplomatic missions, not just in Iraq, but across the region, we're taking the necessary measures. You'll have seen in the media reporting, we're making sure that we protect UK shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, and I've revised the travel advice for Iran, for Iraq, and for some of the other countries in the region to make sure that we are always putting the safety of British citizens and British nationals first.
You say that you've revised the safety advice. Does that mean that British nationals in the region are now more at risk?
I think there's been instability for some time. That's no secret, and our travel advisors have been highlighting the risks as they were, but obviously there have been heightened tensions with the recent events, and we want to make sure that we're giving very clear and objective advice, and we're advising against all but essential travel to Iraq and Iran.
Are they more at risk now?
Well, I think obviously as the tensions rise, we want to make sure that we're monitoring the risk very carefully. We don't want to see anyone put at any undue risk or any risk that we can't foreseeably avoid. And so what we're doing, and this is not new, it's the job of government and the FCO, we monitor travel advice right across the world consistently and throughout the year, and we keep it under review. So we're just doing the normal practice to make sure that we're giving British businesses, citizens, as well as protecting our missions, diplomatic and military, all the advice and clarity that they need.
Yeah, isn't it an amazing thing? You might have noticed this over the Christmas, you might not have noticed it, but the UK, well, the military, the army, the British Army, has apparently run recently a hugely successful recruitment campaign. Did you see this? And you and I know this, don't we? We know this, you and me. You and me, we know this. There are no coincidences in this global conspiracy that's unfolding and becoming more and more apparent, even to the most stubborn and the most willfully obdurate or obstinate. They can't ignore it now. There are no coincidences. I caught a bit of Kay Burley on Sky News on Thursday, interviewing a couple of army people, talking about how so many people are joining the army because of a recent brilliant social media campaign. There are no coincidences. They're ramping up and preparing for war. Gerald Celente was right and has been right for some years. The great trends forecaster. In fact, check out his YouTube video. He published a YouTube video a couple of days ago about what's happening in Iran and where he believes it will all go. We've known this for years. Massive campaign in this country in the last couple of months to get recruits into the army. Working class council estates. It was always the way, wasn't it? Get the poorest and the worst off, you know, the most disadvantaged people, get them into the army. Why? Because they're preparing for war. They're about to send, whether it's in 2020 or in 2021, thousands and thousands more young British men and women into the Middle East to be fucking slaughtered. After they slaughtered hundreds of thousands of others, you see. All this is going on. And at the same time, you have this bullshit news campaign telling us that anti-Semitism is on the rise just because some dickhead defaced the outside of a synagogue in London, which is a nasty thing to do. Of course it is. Nobody should be defacing synagogues. Nobody should be desecrating the headstones of Jewish graves, of cemeteries, right? They shouldn't be doing it. But that's the exception, not the rule. It's not really happening. There isn't any real anti-Semitism. But they're telling you that there is. And today's newspapers, including the Sunday Times, full of stories about attacks on Jews in New York and attacks on Jews in London. It's bullshit. But again, it's part of a spider's web. It's not unconnected. Because when this Iran escalation, or as this Iran escalation gets worse and worse and worse and worse, the part played in it, or the part played by the State of Israel in it, becomes more and more and more apparent and obvious, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Okay? We can't have any criticism of what Israel is doing. Because when it comes to the Middle East and ISIS and Islamic Jihad and all of that, all roads lead to Tel Aviv. Right? So you're getting all this now in the news as well. Some Egypt drew a Star of David and 9/11 on a synagogue, which is a terrible thing to do. And I want to talk about that in more depth in a minute. So, yes, I don't want to get trapped now in too many different trains of thought at the same time. We'll come back to that. Yes, but it is connected to what's happening in Iran. This fake news story about anti-Semitism being at epidemic levels in the UK. It is not. It's no worse than it's ever been. We'll come back to that. Right. Where were we? We were going to hear from Emily Thornberry, weren't we? Yes. Emily Thornberry is the Shadow Foreign Secretary and a Labour leadership candidate. Okay? She was speaking on the same show, Sophie Ridge, and Ridge asked her, Emily, are we safer now that Soleimani was murdered? Are we safer?
Look, I don't shed any tears for Soleimani. I fully understand his pattern of behaviour. He was essentially in charge of the defence forces for Iran. Their behaviour across the region has been one that has been destabilising. He has the blood of many people on his hands. His pattern of behaviour has been such that has been unacceptable and contrary to international law for a long time. However, to take him out at this stage, when there has been escalating tensions, seems to me to not be making the world safer. Actually, we are taking a major lurch towards war. And we're doing that because the president is reckless and hasn't thought through, I don't think, what it is that he's doing. But it seems to me quite clear that the Iranians are going to counterattack, and it means that our interests, our people, our forces are of course under threat. You know, there will be more attacks on the tankers. We have relatively lightly armed members of the armed forces in Iraq, for example. You know, they are clearly vulnerable. We have civilians there. We have embassies in the region. Yes, of course, everyone is now vulnerable.
We're all vulnerable, says Emily Thornberry. Remember what she said about Soleimani. We'll come back to that because it's important, about him being this kind of horrible guy, destabilizing, killing people in the Middle East. We'll come back to that. What about Iraq? What might Iraq think about what has happened? This is interesting. Thornberry.
They breached Iraqi sovereignty in order to kill the head of the defence forces for Iran. And so how are the Iraqis supposed to respond to that? You know, there will be great pressure on the Iraqis to say to the Americans and to the British and to the other Western allies that have been trying to help them fight ISIS that they should leave. And so I think that it makes the whole area much more unstable and much more dangerous.
Don't hold your breath waiting for the Iraqi government to order every United States soldier out of the country. Don't hold your breath, right?
I think we could be heading towards a war.
Are we heading for a war?
Yes. And I think the point is this, is that what we should be saying quite clearly now is we will not be involved in this. You know, this is not, first of all, Donald Trump should not be doing this. There has been a pattern of behaviour.
This is the fake opposition to the coming war, by the way. Emily Thornberry doesn't mean that, you know. I'm not doing her a grave disservice. Thornberry doesn't mean that we shouldn't be a part of it. There has to look like there's some opposition to it. So you've got a Labour Party that will be in opposition for 5 years. There will not be a general election in this country before 2024, maybe 2025. There won't be one. Right? This is your government now for 5 years, at the very least. So there's got to appear to be opposition to the escalation of tension leading to a war with Iran. So it's easy for Thornberry to say it now. If Thornberry was in government, she wouldn't be saying what she's saying now. I guarantee you.
Quite clearly now is we will not be involved in this. You know, this is not, first of all, Donald Trump should not be doing this. There has been a pattern of behaviour from Donald Trump ever since the time he was a candidate. He said he was going to rip up the Iranian nuclear deal. Now, the Iranian nuclear deal, people were...
Actually, when he was a candidate, he very, very clearly stated on many occasions, did Donald Trump, that American interventionism would end once he ascended, once he took the top job, once he went to the Oval Office. He said it 1,000 times. No more wars overseas, no more US troops overseas. That's all going to end, he said, quite clearly. Yes, he did talk about the Iranian deal being a bad deal, but he clearly said the US wouldn't be fighting other people's wars for them, that it wouldn't be the policemen of the world anymore. He was very explicit about that. And I could have played any number of audio clips for you this morning to prove that. But you know that anyway, I don't need to play those clips. Anyway.
People will remember, was not a perfect agreement, but it was a way of bringing Iran in from the cold. It was beginning to talk to them, and it was...
Yeah, anyway, let's move on. She's then asked, what can or what should the UK do from here? So the US, at the behest of Israel, has blown General Qasem Soleimani to pieces. What should the UK do now, Thornberry has asked.
First of all, I think that what we're doing now is too little and too late. You know, I not only warned Dominic Raab, I warned Jeremy Hunt, and I warned his predecessor, you know, that
what,
now
what,
the...
What
and I said, what, and I remember saying, right, to Boris Johnson, I am really worried that the president is going to rip up the Iranian nuclear deal. And he said to me, you should spend a bit less time reading the newspapers. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, we have been complacent.
When did you say that to him?
In Foreign Office questions. In Foreign Office questions, I raised with him my concerns about where the Americans were going and what was going to happen. And one of the reasons I did was because the chief of staff of Colin Powell, and Colin Powell, people will remember, was the general responsible for the Iraq war. His chief of staff said, we are going down the same path as we did before the Iraq war. But a war with Iran will be 10 to 15 times worse in terms of loss of life and the costs. And he said, we have to stop. It was wrong for us to go to war in Iraq. It'll be even worse if we go to war with Iran. And I have been warning about this. And, you know, we now find ourselves in this situation. And the question now for Britain is, do we stand firm and say to the Americans, this is the wrong thing to do, we do not drag us into a war, we refuse to be involved in a war? And I believe that when I say that, I speak on behalf of the majority of the British people who know that the last four, you know, wars in the Middle East we have gone into with the idea of, oh, this is a bad man, let's take him out, without any plan as to what the consequences would be or what it is that we want to
achieve. To be fair to the government, they are using the word, as we heard from Dominic Raab there, de-escalation again and again. I mean, this doesn't sound like someone who's about to go and go to war with Iran. But secondly, my point is, you're talking there about the warnings about the US behaviour.
Yes.
The way to stop that is to have influence over
yes.
the US. And I
yes.
do just wonder, I mean, just to pick one quote that you said...
Yeah, I won't bother you with this. Ridge says to Thornbury, you've described Trump as a sexual deviant, you've described him as a racist, how could you exert any influence over Donald Trump if you're calling him names? And Thornbury says, I'm strong, I stand up to people like Trump, and you get more out of them when you stand up to them. I won't subject you to that. Go back to what she said when she was asked about whether Trump was right or not, or whether we are any safer after General Soleimani was murdered. I just want you to hear this again.
Look, I didn't shed any tears for Soleimani.
She's a hard bitch, huh? She sheds no tears.
I fully understand his pattern of behaviour.
She understands his pattern of behaviour because she's a psychopath as well.
He was essentially in charge of the defence forces for Iran.
Right.
Their behaviour across the region has been one that has been destabilising. He has the blood of many people on his hands. His pattern of behaviour has been such that has been unacceptable.
Yeah, he's unacceptable. He's got the blood of many people on his hands. Yeah. Talk to the people in Yemen about blood on people's hands, Emily. Anyway, so that's how she describes General Soleimani. Now, under Tony Blair for 2 or 3 years... Jack Straw was the Foreign Secretary. Do you remember Jack Straw from Blackburn? And Jack Straw has written a book about Iran, and he was on BBC Breakfast Television this morning. And when he was asked for his reaction to the assassination of General Soleimani, which he gives, he also talks about Soleimani himself. Jack Straw on BBC Breakfast. The question, what's your reaction to the murder of General Qasem Soleimani?
Well, number one, some incredulity. Number two, real concern about the implications of this assassination of Qasem Soleimani. Even if you accept, which I don't, President Trump's assertions that Qasem Soleimani was, quote, the world's worst terrorist leader, this was not a sensible action to take, and it will have, I think, really serious implications for the West, for America, and for the region as a whole. The other thing that I thought when I heard about this was how petrified the Iranians would then be because of the penetration of their security screen around Qasem Soleimani. This man, I mean, he's written up as the second most powerful man in Iran after the supreme leader, and that's true. He's also the second most well-protected, or has been, well-protected individual in the Iranian regime. And the Iranians will be neurotic to an extreme now of that their security and secrecy surrounding his movements was penetrated by, quote, the great Satan, their arch enemy, the Americans.
Yeah, it's very interesting that he first of all said that he doesn't accept Trump's assertion that General Soleimani is the world's worst terrorist. Jack Straw there. So what's Iran likely to do then? Where would the smart money be on Iran's response? Let's hear from Patrick Coburn. You should know who he is. He's a very experienced journalist. Writes for The Independent, of course. He's currently in Ardmore in County Waterford, a place I know very well. And he spoke to Sky News as well. He was asked, quite simply, what will Iran do in response to the assassination of their much-beloved general, Patrick Coburn?
I don't think we know yet how Iran is going to respond. There could be something very serious, like an invasion by protesters of the American embassy compound in Baghdad. That could happen very quickly, a takeover like we had in Tehran in 1979. That would really set us on the road to war. More likely, I think that the Iranians will play it cool, whatever they're saying, and they will look for a long-term revenge, probably pushing the Americans out of Iraq, but not through military action, but through the Iraqi parliament and the Iraqi paramilitaries. I think that's their most likely response.
I mean, there's a huge gamble, though, isn't it? I mean, we're seeing British naval ships being put into the Strait of Hormuz to accompany British-flagged ships in case things go wrong. We've heard British tourists in Dubai and Turkey being warned to be vigilant. There is a risk of accidental war in all of this.
Absolutely, because
there's no such thing as an accidental war, love.
Absolutely, because we have this very dangerous game of chicken between Iran and the US. The Iranians were almost certainly behind missile attacks, drone attacks on Saudi oil facilities in September.
No evidence.
September, or shooting down a US drone plane in June. US didn't respond.
Why the should the US not should the US respond? You have a drone flying over the sovereign territory of a sovereign state. You kind of have to expect them to shoot it down, don't you? It's the least you can expect, I would have said, anyway.
Militarily. So it seemed to under-respond then. It over-responds now, to my mind. But all this is sort of up in the air. It all seems to depend on what Trump just saw on television and what he's responding to.
The notion that Donald Trump is really calling the shots or pulling the strings. It's a wonderful thing that people believe it. It's wonderful that people... And, of course, this is the beauty of the Trump tweeting phenomenon, which has been around now since Trump was on the campaign trail. It's a wonderful thing. People believe Trump is in charge. He's in control. He's making these decisions. People actually believe that Trump decided, of his own volition, let's kill General Qasem Soleimani. Let's do that. No, he didn't. We'll come back to that in a second. An interesting angle that some US journalists are taking is this, that Trump did it because it distracts from his impending impeachment proceedings. And the presenter, Isabel Webster, wants to explore this with the journalist Patrick Coburn.
What do you make of some of the American press overnight drawing links between President Trump's impeachment and this airstrike? There are links between President Clinton trying to delay his impeachment process back in 1998 and launching airstrikes on Iraq as well. Do you think it could have all been a rather cynical tactic from POTUS?
I think that, you know, in the White House, impeachment, the next election, is not something which is out of their mind for more than a split second. So that probably is a consideration, that he didn't want to look weak. He was being portrayed as weak and vacillating after various Iranian actions over the summer that I mentioned. And, you know, it's very arbitrary. His own advisors don't know what he's going to do next. According to the American press, the option of killing Soleimani was only put there by the US military to make some other options look a bit more moderate, that they were completely astounded when that was the option that Trump took. So for a British government...
That is some crock of shit, that, isn't it? What Patrick Coburn just said there. Have a listen back to what he says there. It's just nonsense.
The option of killing Soleimani was only put there by the US military to make some other options look a bit more moderate, that they were completely astounded when that was the option that Trump took.
Horseshit, that. The fairy stories are spinning there, and it is being spun in the US by Trump's enemies in the Democratic Party, is that the Joint Chiefs came to Trump and said, hey, here's a few ways that we can piss off Iran, Donald, and gave him four or five options, the worst one being murdering General Soleimani, thinking that Trump would choose one of the least aggressive options. But then Trump astounded them all by saying, yeah, let's kill the general. Horse shit. Christ, what's happened to the media? You think it can't get any worse? you think, well, soon I won't be talking about the media anymore because it can't get any worse than it is now. Utter nonsense, that. Anyway, it's got nothing to do with his impeachment. It's being sold in the US media, not so much by Trump himself on his computer in his bedroom, but it's being sold by Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State. He's everywhere. He'll be doing a number of appearances today on Fox News on Sunday. He'll be on CNN today as well, and I believe he'll be talking to the BBC today as well. Mike Pompeo, he's been put out there to sell this story that Iran and General Soleimani were plotting imminent, that there were imminent attacks, and those attacks had been prepared by Soleimani. So we had to take him out. And Pompeo was selling this story. Of course, he's a former CIA director. And of course, last year, when Pompeo was giving an address to the Texas A&M University alumni, he said this.
When I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we steal, stole.
What was that?
At West Point. You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we steal, stole.
That's very funny.
Those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we steal, stole. It's like we had entire training courses. It reminds you of the
in Virginia. That's right. You had entire training courses on how to lie, to cheat, and to steal. But when you come on national television and tell us that General Soleimani had to be assassinated because he was involved in imminent plots to kill American people, we should believe it, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? We should believe it, right? Even though, right?
Director, we lied, we cheated, we steal, stole. It's
yeah.
Like we had entire training courses.
Yeah.
It reminds you.
And the fucking rednecks at Texas A&M University just laugh and applaud when a man says to them, do you know what? We lied, cheated, and stole every chance we got. It's a Sunday View on the Richie Allen Show. Right, we don't have time for music. This is Sunday View. Welcome to it. Hi to Charlotte in Burnley. How you doing, Charlotte in Burnley? Nice to know you're listening. Liz says it's all been planned, Richie, for more than 20 years, as outlined in the project for the new American century, the think tank, and they are behind schedule, says Liz. That is correct. Yes, Liz is right. You need to know what PNAC is all about if you're new to the Richie Allen radio show, and some of this information is startling to you. You need to know this. It's all part of a plan. Find out about General Wesley Clark. I'm not going to tell you, because I've got 15 minutes left and I've got plenty more to say before we run out of time today. What do you mean run out of time? Yes, I like to keep it to an hour, because then when it repeats on the hour. You understand? Okay. Hi to Jason. Richie, if you watch the 80s BBC film Threads again and listen to the news reports playing in the background on the TV in people's houses and the pub before the nuclear attack, it all sounds eerily like what we have going on at the moment. Well, I'll tell you this, Jason, I will check out that film. I never saw that film, my friend. Thanks for that. Hi to Alan Badger. How you doing, Alan? Good morning, Alan. How you doing, son? Good morning to Susan at Ruby Dragon 1. How you doing, Susan? Okay, right. Let's move on. I've been very concerned in the last few months, and particularly in the last couple of weeks, the gaslighting going on in the British media. People being told they are racist and anti-Semitic, and Jewishness being equated with Israel and the behaviour of Israel, when Jewishness and Israel, in my opinion, have got nothing to do with one another. Take, for example, the rotten defacing of the synagogue in London. It's rotten because it's cowardly. Shocking. If you've got something to say to the people who attend the synagogue on Saturday, be a fucking man and say it to them. Don't go defacing property and running away like a rat in the night. Say it to them. Jews, the Jews are not responsible for 9/11. Is Israel? Yes, it had a big part to play, I think. How do I know that? Well, the FBI fucking told me. Last year, they told me personally. No, they didn't tell me personally. They told all of us. Last March or last April, look it up if you don't believe me, the FBI confirmed in releasing previously redacted photographs of the dancing Israelis that these fuckers were in downtown Manhattan specifically to film the attacks on the World Trade Center buildings because they knew they were going to happen. These five fuckers who were supposed to be working for Urban Moving Systems, isn't that right? But it turned out that at least two of them were Mossad agents. Remember, they were arrested and then they were very quickly spirited out of the fucking country. And senior FBI people said, I can't believe that those five kids were allowed to go back to Israel. We had some very serious questions for them. So suggesting that Israel was intimately involved in what happened in New York on 9/11 isn't an anti-Jewish fucking conspiracy theory, because the Jews had fuck all to do with it. The average Jewish bloke is no more in the fucking light, he's no more briefed, has no more understanding of that than the average Catholic who goes to St. Bridget's across the road. And what you saw last week, again, on Twitter particularly, some of the heroes of the Zionist movement in the UK with their little blue ticks on their names claiming that this is a terrible anti-Jewish conspiracy fucking theory. It's got nothing to do with Jewish people. Many times, but you see, we're being led into a world now, and we're being led by the nose, by the way, where we can easily be convinced that we don't mean what we say. I mean what I say. The Jews are not sitting around plotting to do things. But we're moving into a world at a accelerated fucking rate of knots where we are being programmed to, well, to kind of be placed into a fit of, a kind of a state of confusion. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it is a bit racist, maybe. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe they're right. No, they're not right. Israel was behind the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani. As sure as I've got eight fingers and two thumbs. No fucking doubt. Why? Why do I say that? Do you have any proof, Rich? I don't have any definitive proof, no. But I would bet my meagre life savings on it that Israel was behind it. Why? Well, because General Qasem Soleimani, as I mentioned at the top of the programme, is a modern day Michael Collins. Look up Michael Collins. Look him up. Told you enough about him on the programme in the past. Soleimani was a freedom fighter, a strategic genius. And if you know anything about him, he was a hero of the Iran-Iraq war. Do you remember that? Do you remember that war when Israel told the United States to arm and fund Saddam Hussein to try and bring down Iran and launch chemical weapons against the Iranian people? Remember? Yeah, this guy was a hero. A strategic military genius. And the neocon Zionist terrorists failed to sack Iran because of guys like Qasem Soleimani. And of course he later on went on to play a big part in setting up Hezbollah. Why? Well, because of Israel's occupation of Lebanon, of course. Not because he's an evil bastard and an evil terrorist who just likes to kill people. No, Israel occupied Lebanon. Lots of people were murdered. And this guy helped to set up Hezbollah. Justifiably, I would say. What was he doing in recent years, Soleimani? Well, he was a major player in preventing Western-backed jihadist fucking nutcases sacking Syria. Yes, ISIS they call them, or Daesh, or Islamic State, or IS. These are US and Israeli-controlled lunatics, armed, funded and trained by the US and Israel to sack Syria. Well, guys like General Qasem Soleimani said, well, we'll fucking see about that now, is what we'll do. And he did a lot of training and working with volunteers inside Syria to help Syria, to help the people of Syria fight off these lunatic head choppers whose crimes are unspeakable, unimaginable. LiveLeak.com. You want to see what these guys got up to in Syria since they invaded the country back in 2011? Soleimani, major player there. And of course, he was probably a future Iranian president. Israel loathed him. So I believe Israel had him killed. Simple as that. The United States controls Islamist jihadists across the region and does what it does at the behest of, on the orders of, Israel. The only terrorism in the region is that which is sponsored by the US, the UK and Israel. That's the only terrorism. That's the only legitimate, genuine terrorism in the region is started by and funded by us, the US and Israel. Everything else that happens afterwards is a response to that which we began. I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying this Soleimani guy was a nice guy. Everybody commits war crimes in war, right? Doesn't matter who started it, right? So, Israel, who had the most to gain from killing Soleimani? Well, it was Israel, of course. And this is why Donald Trump ended up in the White House. And people are staggered to this day. Staggered. How could this fucking idiot end up as President of the United States? Well, he was groomed, I believe. And I've gotten into this in many a programme in 2019. It's all in the archives. I've gotten into it. Trump was groomed by his very close friends Bill and Hillary Clinton. Wasn't he? Why? Well, because Donald, through his own friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, probably compromised up the feckin' wazoo. That's why Trump was chosen. And that's why since Trump entered the Oval Office, everything he has done, every order he has issued, every document he has signed, has favoured the Zionist government of Israel. It's not a Jewish conspiracy theory or an anti-Jewish conspiracy theory. It's a modern-day conspiracy fact. I have no doubt the state of Israel was behind the murder of the general a couple of days ago. Didn't sue anybody else. Who else benefited from it? The United States didn't. Or its interests in the region. Didn't benefit the UK. It certainly didn't benefit France. Benefited Israel. So they had him killed. Go back to what I said about September the 11th. Because some of you will be confused. Which I don't remember that. I covered this extensively last year. The FBI released previously redacted documents and photographs about the presence of five Israeli intelligence agents who were posing as workers for a removal company. They were seen, photographed, laughing and dancing and pointing as the planes hit the buildings on September the 11th, just after 9 o'clock, was it, in the morning, New York time. Turned out their urban movement systems jobs were a front and that at least two of them had worked for Mossad. How did they know this, the FBI? Because there was a database of foreign intelligence operators working and hanging out in the United States. Israel had foreknowledge of the attacks. These arseholes were sent to document it. Therefore, you have a conspiracy. I'm not saying Israel did it by itself, but its agents were involved in the execution of what happened on September the 11th. Therefore, it's not a conspiracy theory. Fascinated by that. Fascinated by this attack on the synagogue and how timely that attack was. Rotten, of course. But why did it happen at this particular time? This Star of David with the 9/11 number written underneath it. Why? Who did that suit? Who would have done that at this particular time? And why then do you have people on Twitter saying, oh, here we go with the anti-Jew? It's not an anti-Jewish conspiracy. The Jews have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all. But Israeli intelligence agents, well, they seemingly had a lot to do with what happened on September 11th, and the FBI is convinced of it. All roads lead to Tel Aviv. It's as simple as that. That's it for Sunday View. Nice to be back with you. We'll do the newspaper review tomorrow morning at 9:30. And Paul Craig Roberts joins me tomorrow. And Jason Burmes are the guests on the first Richie Allen radio show of 2020. The first proper show, I should say. That will be tomorrow at 5 o'clock, the usual time. Thanks for listening to me today. Do stay in touch with the programme. The website's under construction. It's still active, the website, but it's under construction at the moment. It'll look very different in a couple of weeks' time, and there'll be lots of features on there that are not there now. And I look forward to sharing that with you in the coming days and weeks. Right. Okay, then. A lot of tweets and comments came in there in the last few minutes. I'm sorry I didn't get to them. Mea culpa. I'll be better on that, as I said, in the coming days and weeks. Right, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thanks for listening. Closing out the programme with Bob Seger. On the assassination of General Soleimani, all roads lead to Tel Aviv. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now. Look after yourselves and one another.